CNBC's Big January continues with the JPM Healthcare Conference, the Amex Golf Tournament, Inauguration Day, and the World Economic Forum in Davos. Get ahead of the game. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
11 o'clock hour. That's usually when Drew hits us with a little Christmas music. 11 o'clock hour. It's Cody and Gold. Alex Gold, Cody Tapp. Drew Nixon with you. We got Trash of the Day coming up in 20 minutes. Also, next hour, Danan Hughes, former Chiefs wide receiver. He'll be on the call Saturday morning for pregame at 9 and, of course, at noon when the Chiefs take on the Texans, along with Mitch Holtis, Dan Israel, Josh Klingler here on your home for the Chiefs, 96.5 The Fan. We did a little digging during the break. Someone said in a text they think you might have violated NIL laws, Cody, with your suggesting that you would pay for a player.
Oh, like, in fairness, in a lot
as a professor at a university.
In a lot of NIL, I believe this falls in the gray area part of the category.
Google search says under current NCAA rules, faculty at a college cannot directly participate in NIL with student athletes. You cannot facilitate or arrange NIL deals.
Okay.
You're going to get them in trouble, you know?
But hear me out. God, could you imagine if I was the reason UMKC finally makes a tournament, but they get banned because I try to offer an NIL deal to a person who hadn't played basketball in 10 years? On Missouri's own website, it does say that faculty cannot do an NIL deal. So I am no longer allowed to pay someone money as an NIL deal for this show. Like, I'm not allowed to enter that. But it does say the state's NIL law now permits, as of 2022, members of the university, including coaches, to assist in seeking out third-party NIL deals. I think I'm in the clear here based on Missouri state laws, which are very laxed in the NIL department, as you well know. High school players can get paid in this state.
Mm-hmm.
So
does it say coaches or does it say faculty?
It says members of the university. I believe that qualifies. Hard to say for sure.
Yeah, it's a gray area.
Gray area, which means ain't nobody coming after me, okay? Other than I've made it very public. And in fairness, I didn't break the rules this time because I was offering NIL to somebody who played college basketball in 2009.
You also used the word promise three times. You can't say that. You can't say that.
In fairness, that is very explicitly laid out. I am not allowed to promise pay for play, essentially.
Yeah, luckily you weren't offering it to a high school kid or something like
that. Thank goodness.
So I think you're in the clear. We'll get to the trash of the day in 15 minutes. Let's get back to Chiefs and Texans. And there's a lot of obvious things I think fans want to see from the Chiefs on Saturday. Most notably, hey, can Joe Tooney continue to improve at left tackle while they wait for DJ Humphries to get back from his hamstring injury? I think if you're asking me what do I want to see most from the game on Saturday, it's absolutely how the offensive line holds up. But from an excitement standpoint, going back to our Hollywood Brown conversation we had earlier in the show already, that's what I'm most excited to see would be what does he bring to the table even in a limited snap. But can this defense continue to do what they've done the last couple weeks? 7 points allowed, 17 points, 17 points. Can they keep that up against the Houston Texans? That would be a month straight, man. Be a month straight of high-quality defensive play.
And after about a month straight of pretty mediocre defensive play.
And ultimately, that's all that matters. It doesn't mean they won't give up big plays, but it's how many points are they giving up a game? If they go a full month of games of giving up under 20, maybe under 17 if they do that against the Texans, that is what I think you should actually really want to see, because that's already happening. The O-line stuff, we want to see improvement, but we haven't seen any reason to believe that that's coming. The defense has already improved. They also got some turnovers against Cleveland. Can they build off of that?
I lean towards what you said for the reasons we just talked about, where I'm starting to gear towards maybe this team just wins on defense again. And that's the easier path than saying solve your left tackle problems that have been an issue since September 1st and it's December 19th and they're still an issue, versus the defense, which actually has shown notable improvement, versus the offense, which has been just as bad as it was, or mediocre. Bad is still too strong. Bad by their standards, mediocre by NFL standards across the board. And so that is kind of where we create a problem, and it's I think more than anything, if you let me see something, I would take Hollywood open up the pass game. If the options are Tooney holds up pretty well at left tackle, Hollywood opens up the deep passing game, or continued defensive dominance is the thing I want to see most on Saturday, I'll take Hollywood. Because then at the very least, maybe offensive line is still a problem, but occasionally you can solve your you got to go all the way down the field without getting Patrick Mahomes killed problem by occasionally getting a quick score. Like, if that is an available option for Saturday for something that I could see for the first time all year.
Can you have that without the other, though? Like, can you have...
I don't know. I'm saying an occasional one versus, like, a permanent thing.
Can you have success from Hollywood Brown if the O-line is not protecting? I don't know. Can those happen separately? I think they might have to be together. Now, if you want to say that the Chiefs, just from a scheme perspective and game plan, that Andy Reid, they're going to get the ball out quicker, right? And we saw when they've had to do that, when they're in 2-minute, 4-minute drills, they've had some of their best drives. If that's part of the equation, and therefore having another guy that maybe can beat man-to-man coverage in Hollywood Brown, that helps him. I can buy into that. But I, if this defense shows for what will end up being a month straight of games, 4 games in a row, of dominance at times in terms of keeping opponents under 20, that might be the most important thing, honestly. I know we want to see the flashiness on offense, and we want to see this offense score 30 points a couple times. I totally get it, especially in this fantasy football sports betting world we live in. But the team, if you're asking what's most realistic for them to do to go get to a Super Bowl again, it might just be that the defense turns it on, which they have the last couple weeks, and can they keep that going?
In a lot of ways, it's like, I don't need to see it, though, because of what you just said. Like, if I'm just looking for one thing that would make me feel a lot better about this team on Saturday, I'm good on the defense. If they let up 24, I would not go running for the hills. I have Charles Omenihue single-handedly made them a much better defense.
Yes.
It turns out they just needed one more viable pass rusher. Problem solved. Like, it sounds overly simplified, but I'm not even kidding. He showed up, and they were instantly better on defense. Karlaftis was instantly better. Chris Jones was instantly better. Suddenly, the secondary wasn't getting torched. Having one more person who can create pressure made them look so much better on defense. So what I need is, like, proof of life. This is a hostage situation the offense is in, and I need proof of life that they still exist, that they live, that they can move the ball, that they can score points if they have to every once in a while. And I'll say, the one time this year, multiple times this year, but in the one spot, is when they're like, push comes to shove, and it's the final drive of the game, and they got to score, offense scores.
They have.
So, like, if there's one thing on offense we can definitely point to, Gold, is, like, if it's desperation time, they'll still get the points. Like, if they got to have them, need to have them, better score, no chance, no choice, they score. Versus all these other times during the regular part of the game. I mean, it'd be not, God, getting through a whole game. I can't even imagine. You imagine how high you'd be riding if Joe Tooney held up and this was the best offensive line performance of the season. Yeah. I'd be like, oh my God, are we good here?
I wonder if that's why the line actually is the answer, because the defense has been good even without necessarily being dominant. Where it hasn't happened, you would say hopefully it doesn't, but if all it takes is one hit where Mahomes is, his knees twisted one way, and all of a sudden the ankle injury gets worse or whatever, and you're not able to win the Super Bowl without Patrick Mahomes, even if the defense is dominant. So I think that you'd almost rather see, it's not the sexiest pick, but you'd rather see the offensive line, because maybe those things go hand in hand, Cody, where you want Hollywood Brown to look good, but case in point being, you get the offensive line to be as good as they can be. Hollywood's going to get the touches anyways. It doesn't matter. Like, he might not be Jamar Chase, but he's going to be productive enough because the offensive line's protecting the quarterback, and you can win the Super Bowl still as long as your quarterback is upright.
Yeah. I mean, I understand that they're related, and it wouldn't hurt me to see the defense do it again. If they won 17-14, I'd be like, you know what? That would only just reaffirm what you and I said yesterday, which is, yeah, maybe there's got to be a defensive team to win this whole thing again. I told you going way back, the thing that surprised me the most about this chance for a three-peat is, if a team ever three-peated in the NFL, I never expected them to do it in 2 years in which you had massive question marks. The difference in this year is we have massive question marks about a team who is 13-1.
Yep.
Like, they might finish 16-1.
And people will have a ton of questions still going into the playoffs, probably.
No one, yeah, like half of the league still won't pick them to win the whole thing. They'll be the back-to-back Super Bowl champions with a 16-1 record. And we'll go to the postseason and be like, Bills are better. And be like, are you? But wait.
Yeah, it goes back to what we were saying. Like, it's because they're not flashy. They're not winning you your fantasy football matchup that week. And so people are upset and they're not good enough for you. Whereas the Detroit Lions, who now I think people are backing off of a little too quickly because of the injuries, are now just acting like that they're not good enough to win it. So it's just truly is a week to week thing. And all it takes, I really think all it takes is somehow if the Chiefs, and in the final three games, had one of those offensive performances out of nowhere, and it really would be out of nowhere, then I think people would start to shift. Or maybe it's like the playoffs last year, where once they did what they did to the Miami Dolphins in the wild card round, then people are like, oh wait, like they're gonna actually go do this thing. Maybe it'll take a win in the divisional round of the playoffs if the Chiefs have the one seed, winning a game against what people believe a quality opponent, and suddenly the team looks fresh and healthy, and people say, oh, here they go again. They're gonna end up back in the Super Bowl. Maybe that's what it'll actually take. Now the text line 913-586-7965 is alluding to, they're like, who would you rather have negotiating that hostage situation you were bringing up? If Drew was the hostage, Cody or myself? That's a great question. I don't know. You tell me. You brought up that the Chiefs are like, there's like a hostage situation.
And I want proof of life. You want
proof of life. They're saying, would you rather have Cody negotiate or me negotiate?
I guess Drew would have to answer that. Drew, you're kidnapped. So this is the scenario. You're kidnapped. They're holding you for ransom. And either Alex can negotiate your freedom or I can negotiate your freedom. Who do you want doing that?
Well, you said you don't negotiate already, Cody. So I feel like I'm going to
I negotiate in that scenario.
That is true. Cody just a week ago said he doesn't like negotiating.
I mean, I would, for that reason, I would say Gold. So I can only pick one of you guys?
Yeah.
Hang on. How would the negotiation go? Like are you, do you mean like, look,
to get your release,
cut off Drew's wrist and your hand, and you know what? He's good to go. Are you going to take that?
See, that's the thing. I'm going to say no. Me? That's not good enough. Cody would say, that seems like a fair deal. No problem. No negotiating problems at all.
Yeah, for you to. I mean, he gets home. Sorry, I'll have Gold. I'll have Gold negotiating for me. I'd like to have all my limbs intact.
Text line. Someone says, if I'm kidnapped, I'm taking Cody to negotiate to get me back.
Man, all right.
Just know that you might lose limbs because he's like, whatever, that's fine. No big deal. He's not going to negotiate.
I'll get you home alive.
Someone said clearly Alex
might try to play hardball and you may never make it home. I'll get you home alive. You might be missing a digit, but you'll get home.
That's possibly true.
Someone said I'm doomed if it's you, Cody. Mm.
Someone says Cody can't even pay off a bet.
I paid off every bet.
But you know what that required? It required negotiation in order to get the bet paid off.
I think I won that negotiation. You know what? In the end, I held out long enough, Drew.
I think you did win it, yes. So you absolutely did.
I'm just pointing, the one negotiation we've had on this show, we've had many on this show.
Someone said, shoot the hostage. Excuse me.
As in they're screwed. As in you're screwed either way.
Mm. I do think you did win. You won the negotiation, though, for sure, Cody.
And we got to look at it this way.
You held out long
enough.
Cody
didn't have to actually go to the strip club, which is ridiculous, but that's a whole other topic. We'll get to the trash of the day in about 5 minutes or so. We've been talking a lot about some ideas that are thrown out for Major League Baseball. We had J.J. Piccolo on the show yesterday, Royals general manager, and we got his reaction to that golden bat rule or whatever. He kind of just laughed. I mean, you could tell he didn't think it was realistic at all. The latest is that could Major League Baseball expansion be the cure to baseball's lack of offense, as in basically you would water down the pitching so much that you would have more offense? I get what they're getting at, but this seems like a terrible. You're telling me let's make the product crappier by having bad pitching,
but
and it'll help the offense.
But hear them out. You're only making half of the product worse to make the other half of the product better. You make the pitching look worse, but we get to see more action. The ball gets hit more. It's in play more. People are running more. More runs are being scored.
No other league.
I actually don't kind of hate the idea of expansion to make the league worse because pitching is too good. Pitching's too good. They got to do something about it. They all throw 105 miles an hour.
Yeah, I hate that
it's
sentence,
unhittable.
Though. Pitching is too good.
It is.
Pitching is very, very good in the league, but pitching is too good. So we're like, well, we've got to do all the, like, I know the game has to adapt as certain athletic abilities change and we progress as society and it, you know, when it comes to training and everything like that. But what other league has said we're going to expand because we want to basically water down one side of our product? Like when the NFL is looking to expand, it's strictly for financial benefit.
It's going to get worse because we already don't have enough starting quarterbacks.
The reason why the WNBA even has been cautious about expanding is because do they have enough talent pool? Baseball's saying we want to make it so we know we don't have enough talent pool for pitching, so we'll have more offense. I hate that. You're basically saying, let's make it way crappier for pitching in baseball. You're going to watch bad pitching. I know we all like offense. It goes back to what we just said. This is all because people are living in a fantasy football and sports betting world, and they all want their overs to hit, and they want to have their fantasy football player get a bunch of points. The same thing applies here in baseball. I hate this idea as well.
I don't hate it. I don't like the golden at bat rule. Because again, I know they're just trying to get more offense in. But there are people who'd be like, well, pitching's too good, so like, let's get rid of the shift because you have to pull the ball.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have any problem with them eliminating the shift or reducing it significantly.
That's different than intentionally expanding another 25, you know, whatever it'd be, you know, another 20, or I guess 42 man roster. So you would have two more, you know, who knows how many teams they would expand to. Just to make it so it's a worst teams across the board.
How many are there around 30?
It also won't work the way we want. We are already bitching and moaning about the Dodgers spending all this money and deferring $1 billion for, you know, Otani and Snell and all this, and Juan Soto signing a $780 million deal or whatever it is. Won't that make it even worse, the gap across the sport? You think the Dodgers are going to say, you're right, we'll have crappier pitching. No, they'll just go buy more. The gap will only increase.
For certain and the rich teams, it might. I'm not saying that's not a risk. That's a risk in everything they do. And this is a sentiment that I've talked to so many current, former major league players, current, former front office members. This is like the baseball version of the NBA just doesn't play defense, which is the pitching's so good, don't care about striking out. Stop trying to swing for the fences and just put the ball in play. What I'm telling you is it's impossible. The ball travels. It moves 24 inches at 99 miles an hour from 60 feet away. Just the human body is not capable of consistently hitting that.
This text is perfect, though. I agree with it. It's just, baseball will look at literally everything besides a salary cap or salary floor.
Yeah.
Impact competitive balance because you can water down the rosters by adding another three or four teams or whatever they would talk about doing in this hypothetical. And if the Dodgers and Mets aren't going to get watered down. The Yankees aren't going to get watered down.
Those two be as
the
dominant,
Royals
yeah.
and fair. The Twins are going to get even more watered down.
Yeah, because then the prices of free agents go up because there's more teams, more people competing for those same players, and some of those big dog teams will still be able to afford them. I get it. There's a bad trickle-down effect. I mean, what's the solution then? Lower the mound? Like, there's the obvious ones that they've done before.
Yeah,
lower the mound.
Lower the mound is definitely something
They just talked about moving the mound back.
Both. Do it. I mean, that's honestly
60 feet, 6 inches. It's 61 feet, 6 inches.
Move the mound back.
But I can't imagine teaching a major league player who's been throwing from the same distance their entire major league career and be like, now throw it a foot further. That would be a challenge. And then they did this whole big study, and this is a really nerdy thing that I'm sure a lot of people or haven't paid attention to. They did a whole big, years-long study figuring out why there's been an increase in arm injuries in Major League Baseball, why they've had so many people. And by the way, the answer is really, it's like super easy. People throw harder, and their arms aren't equipped to do it. And pitching velocity is valued because every single metric suggests it is harder to hit a baseball when it is thrown. Turns out, harder. And so, like, it's a simple thing, but they can't, like, that's a systemic thing. They can't go all the way down to these high schools and be like, well, don't throw hard, young man. And so, like, they're just, it's not a broken sport, but this is the problem every sport has except for the NFL, in my opinion. NBA is going through this with a three-point. Baseball is going through this with balls in play.
I understand. I've just never heard of a league. Again, this is a hypothetical. Major League Baseball is not coming out and saying we're going to expand. But I've never seen a league, professional sports league, say, we're going to expand to water down our product. You know how insane that is, though?
Because they don't want to add the salary cap, though. You guys have both said it's conceivably not going to happen, but that might be the solution that actually figures everything out. They can keep everything the way that it is, roster size and everything, but if they had a salary cap, it might actually help solve all the problems that we're talking about.
All right, let's get to it. It is that time of the show.
Crash of the day.
We go to Ohio for this one. It has to do with a funeral home and an owner who says they now want to be a, quote, party planner for the dead.
Sounds like
how are they going to do this?
Beetlejuice 3.
They're going to become the state's first bereavement center with booze. Evergreen Funeral Cremation and Reception in Columbus hopes to soon have a liquor license to allow his patrons to mix mourning with merriment. Quote, my role in this position is to kind of be a party planner for the dead. Be more of a celebration of life than a multi-day traditional service. And he has applied for a liquor license, and it would become the first in the state of Ohio. The funeral home is already located in an old chocolate factory, so that already just makes it a little bit different to begin with.
What in the Willy Wonka? So his funeral home out of an old chocolate factory. He wants to start serving booze. I love this guy.
The owner kind of looks like Willy Wonka a little bit.
All he's got is,
doesn't
he? He looks like such a bro.
Just get some.
He looks like such a party bro. Like he's gonna go hit some waves after this. Where's this at?
Ohio.
Well, he's not any waves there.
If they get approved, they would be permitted to sell beer, wine, and hard liquor for consumption. He says it's kind of like a one-stop shop for funeral service. The package being around $5,000 to $6,000, contrary to the national average, which can be upwards of $10,000. Like everybody's gonna grieve in different ways. I don't know. What do you make of somebody's gonna get trashed at the funeral though?
I think there's got to be a limit to like celebrate, but you can't have more
three
than
drink
two.
Maximum.
Yeah, like there's got to be some maxes in there. I think it's fine. Cody, to your point, I'm not surprised that you like this idea because you said you want people to celebrate.
Yeah, I want my funeral to be a party too. Yeah. Not
my
happy I'm dead,
way,
but you know, like
yes.
I don't want you like sitting around all sad. That seems like kind of a bummer. I'd rather you be having fun. I can't believe there is not another funeral home that serves alcohol. Shouldn't they all be doing this all the time? It's optional.
Yeah,
if you don't
people
want
to do it.
If you don't
it,
want
yeah.
alcohol at your wedding, I'm sure that that's an option. So if you don't want alcohol at your funeral, you may make that choice as well. But for the people who would like to have, like, wouldn't you like to just have like a whiskey? You got to sit through this. You got to sit in this funeral.
I think it depends on everybody's situation.
I think I would.
Or if there's like some little kids, have like some Skittles. I don't know. Available some candy available.
Having the option is definitely interesting, and there's probably not a problem with that. I think some people will enjoy it. Somebody else wouldn't. So now people are asking our end-of-life preferences on the text line, 913-586-7965. Someone says, are any of you not being cremated? I haven't really given that much thought yet in my life.
There's
religious aspect to
now
some of it as well.
That's your call still.
For sure. Yeah.
I'd rather be cremated. I don't, Ian, that just seems like, and honest to God, do it as cheap as possible. There is, and I am not kidding, a strip mall crematory in the Northland near like the Riverside area. It's at the end of the strip mall. It could not look sketchier. I bet it cost you $50 to get cremated there. Just take me there. Just take me there.
Give suggestions.
Get my ashes in a box. Start the party. You know, like, I don't want you spending $2,000, you know, to do this. That's crazy.
Yeah,
I understand why people want like the cremation and everything. I don't. What purpose for me having my ashes around is it necessary? Like, I don't think I need to be.
Yeah, it's all personal preference, obviously, and there are definitely customs based on your religion and stuff. There's, you know, that's gonna shift this.
Someone said they want a Viking funeral, pushed out to sea, arrow with flame shot.
That would be pretty sick.
That'd be a pretty badass funeral. Not gonna lie. Pretty sweet.
Someone said, confirmed I am a lightweight. Cody's talking about whiskey and I was talking about Skittles. Look, I'm looking out for the kids.
Yeah, that's fine.
Like, obviously, you're not gonna get
he's making like a movie theater all of a sudden.
Yeah, have some popcorn.
You can pick up some Sour Patch Kids on your way to the...
That's right, some
on
Sour
way
Patch.
To the services. That just feels like a
why not?
Candy. A movie candy I know Alex likes, so...
Hmm?
What's the last movie you saw in the theater? Are you still like...
Oh, last movie, what did I...
Wait, did you go see Gladiator 2?
That would be the last one.
Okay, you have gone to one recently.
2 weeks ago. That'd be the last one. That'd be the last one. It had been a bit prior to that. There's a couple other movies coming. I want to see the live-action Mufasa movie or whatever that's coming.
Ooh, yeah.
He went from talking about funerals to Mufasa and live-action Disney movies.
All because of...
But yeah.
Candy.
Someone just says $2,000 can't touch the price.
That's expensive,
like $10,000.
That's expensive. Funerals?
$10,000?
Yeah, someone's bringing up an old drop from Cody on the text line. I don't know if we have that whatever
when I
anymore.
Said just throw me in the trash. That one? I don't know if that one's still in there or not. I'm sorry.
I think it's gone. I think that's been deleted from the system. Yeah, you said you just want to be thrown in the trash, which is an all-time drop that we don't have anymore, unfortunately. We lost that in the purge.
Maybe it's just listed differently, you know? That was many years ago.
I think that's gone.
I think many years is past the elimination of those.
Oh, I got it. I don't know if this is it. This is why is it 40 seconds?
Well, this
so
one.
You want to only have
it's
the
a Cody
part.
Or gold.
You don't want to do the funeral part.
Correct.
I don't want you to do the weird sad part and people speak
See?
And you'd be like, don't you want to know where like
change
body
my
goes
life
and stuff?
Nope.
Okay. Nope. Don't need any of that. You can skip all that for me.
What's it, Cody or gold?
What do you want us to do with your body?
Throw it away.
That one, that was when we used to play Cody or Gold, and the voices were altered.
You know, bring back Cody or Gold.
Mm-hmm. We should bring that back next year. Maybe that, in 2025, maybe we promise we'll bring back Cody or Gold.
That's our show resolution.
We'll work with Drew on how to make that happen. That was a bit that we did. You would randomly pull a conversation Cody and I had, alter our voices, and people would guess who's who based off what we said. Anyway, up next, Chiefs Red Half Hour here on Cody and Gold. We'll get back into Hollywood Brown's debut, it looks like, on Saturday and what we expect.
Welcome in to the Chiefs Red Half Hour. Every day at 11:30 with Cody and Gold on your new home for Chiefs football. 96.5, The Fan.
It is the Chiefs Red Half Hour, and coming up in about 8 minutes, we'll get to what one team might be willing to do for one of their veteran players that could perhaps impact the AFC playoff picture, therefore the Chiefs. That's coming up in just a bit. But we know all signs and more reporting out there, as we've seen earlier in the week from Fesco as well, that Hollywood Brown's going to be playing. He's going to be activated on Saturday. It was trending in this direction. That'd be a couple days earlier than what the original estimate was when everybody was targeting, hey, Christmas game, Steelers, Chiefs, Hollywood Brown. Well, it's going to happen 3-4 days earlier. It's going to happen on Saturday against the Texans. To what extent? We're not quite sure. Is it, you know, going to be 15, 20 snaps in the game?
Every once in a while, they surprise me, and they just, like, let someone loose for, like, 50, 60% of the snaps when I didn't see it coming.
The way I could see, if you're saying, hey, he's not going to be limited, would just be that conditioning-wise, lower body injury, it was not a lower body injury, I'm sorry, that he's good to go. It was kind of a weird injury, AC joint.
And it displaced, so he had to have it surgically repaired.
That would be your reasoning of why he's not limited, because, well, he's healthy. I mean, he's not trying to get his speed back or
medically cleared
or, you know, anything like that. You don't need to test his knee. It would just be that, hey, is the timing there? Is all of that there? And to get him up to speed with the offense more. But I'll point out, he was here for OTAs and training camp. And he didn't play in preseason other than one snap, but he was here for the preseason. And so he knows, like, I think he knows the offense. It's more of a timing thing. I don't believe what Dan Orlovsky said necessarily, where it's like, hey, he's the key if they're going to three-peat. No doubt he could help them. But listen to what Dan Orlovsky said on ESPN.
The Chiefs to win a third straight Super Bowl are going to need Hollywood Brown to get healthy. Watching this tape yesterday, it is an offense that is struggling mightily. They can't protect, and bringing Tooney out to the left tackle made the offensive line worse, and there is no vertical juice on this offense. They're going to need Hollywood Brown to three-peat.
He can play a huge role, and specifically in the playoffs. I just don't know how you could say he's the key versus getting average left tackle play.
That's the actual key. But I'll say that Hollywood lands in this, like, how much he's going to play. No bad ideas on offense right now. None. They have stalled. For an offense that's been mediocre all year, they've gotten worse in the last month. And that's, like, hard to imagine. And Mahomes' stats have gotten better. Throwing way less picks, but the yards per completion are still down. The yards per game are still down. And now he's hurt. So you can't be thinking, like, he's just free and easy and all these other things. And you're like, oh, man, I don't want to do, you know, like, so there are no bad ideas. I want them just flying around, throw the ball short, move, fast. And I hope that they kind of play with a little tempo for the first time rather than a 2-minute warning or a 2-minute drill or anything else in between. Hollywood is not the key to unlock it, but I'll just be honest. Even if the offensive line plays exactly the same, they're better because Hollywood Brown is taking over routes that Justin Watts, at the very least, taking over routes that Justin Watson was running. And here's the other part that is really underrated, I think, scheme-wise. In the last five weeks, since Xavier Worthy has really come on, Xavier Worthy's job has changed. Xavier Worthy has been running more in the slot. Xavier Worthy's been running more Rashee Rice routes. And as a result of that, the old vertical guy on the outside has been quiet. And what I think probably, because they're very smart at football, they've been doing, is preparing for the arrival of Hollywood Brown. All right, Xavier, we're going to have you do all this inside stuff, all this underneath, all this catch and run stuff here, there, and Hollywood Brown's going to run straight for a little while down the field, and he is going to create a depth to our offense it hasn't possessed for 5 weeks, because Worthy has been doing that way less than he was earlier in the year.
That's why he's been more effective.
He's been more effective, but the offense hasn't been.
Yeah.
Now you get both.
Yeah.
Now you get someone running deep and someone running the right.
I'm with you. I mean, Hollywood Brown is the player I'm most excited to see finally get on a football field. There were times we were excited to see Pacheco get back or see a Minnehue get back, but Hollywood Brown, given the position he plays, given the deep threat ability, I'm excited to see him. The only thing with what you're saying is I still think it all goes back to protecting Mahomes. That's great. We can say Hollywood Brown can get open deep down the field. Yeah, but does he have enough time to get the ball out? And does Mahomes have enough time? Yeah. And does he believe he has enough time? Maybe even more than actually having
perceived enough time.
Does he believe he has enough time so he's not airmailing the football and is he overthrowing
it? Last week he didn't have enough time.
Yeah.
He got pressured 50% of the time.
Yeah, in the second half in particular, it was awful. And so that's, to me, what will also dictate the success. So will Hollywood Brown help this team? Absolutely. Could we be sitting here AFC title game weekend and saying, man, he's turned out to be a huge, huge player for this offense? Yeah, there's a chance of that. I think, though, it's hard to imagine that without seeing the left tackle play become average. Whether that's Joe Tooney having to be the guy, or I still think, maybe we'll have to wait till the Pittsburgh game, I think we got to see DJ Humphrey one more time at left tackle. And if we don't, then it's going to have to be Tooney. And if we see Humphrey and he struggles, then it needs to be Tooney. But I'm not willing to sit here and say Joe Tooney should be the left tackle for the rest of the season
I'd
yet.
Like to see
need to see Humphrey one more time.
But he's not going to play this week,
no.
Which makes Wednesday a big liability. And I don't think you pay him $4.5 million. I think that in the end, they would still want Humphreys there. Humphreys held up way better in the second half of that game after some of the rust got knocked off. The problem is, he hasn't had any time to knock the rust off. He didn't even get through the whole game.
913-586-7965. Someone from the 816 says, we got average left tackle play last week. I'd rather have average left tackle and left guard play than bad left tackle.
Statistically.
Yes. So, receiver is more vital. That's from our guy Zach on the text line.
Yeah.
I disagree with that because this is also the debate and the dilemma the Chiefs have. Okay, we're going to move Tooney to left tackle. He was better in the first half. He struggled in the second half. There's a reason he is. This is not on him. I mean, he's doing ridiculous work to even give them an opportunity to play this way. But he's a left guard for a reason. Whether we want to talk about the nerdy stuff and
drop off at left guard actually wasn't that bad.
And the arm length and stuff. Caliendo graded out very well in PFF's grade as left guard. But he's not as good of a left guard as a guy that's been an all-pro, obviously. So you're weaker at left guard and you're average at left tackle. What's better, that you get average left tackle and you're excellent at left guard? I'll take that option. And the only way that option exists is DJ Humphreys being the average left tackle.
Because 1 year Kingsley is straight up bad
correct.
Left tackle, not average.
That's why still the best chance they have, if Humphreys is healthy, is him playing left tackle and your guard is your all pro in Tooney. Otherwise, you're kind of everything goes down a little bit. It's not the floor that you have with, as you said, Kingsley or Wanye, but your left tackle play is and your left guard play becomes instead of and great. And I can keep doing sound effects.
You're just really trying
to.
Sure. Yeah. It's all just kind of like relative to the survivability mode of that. And the other part about this is Patrick Mahomes will run more and escape more and do those things more in the playoffs, and he'll cover your ass a little bit more, and he's accepted sacks versus interceptions and all this other stuff. But yes, Humphreys is still the answer for me, honestly, because I want elite level left guard play and average left tackle play. But you're right. The only way I can get that is through DJ Humphreys, who's not going to play this week. He didn't practice each of the last 2 days. I assume he won't practice today. We'll find out here shortly as they'll get ready to take the practice field, and Andy will talk today at 1. Not getting my hopes up that that's going to be the case. I'll say that.
Yeah, we'll hear Andy in the 1 o'clock hour. Also, Paul Charchian of Guillotine Leagues. Get you set. Semifinal week for a lot of your fantasy football leagues.
Stressed about some personal decisions, man.
Last week we'll have Charchian just because of the holidays and the end of the fantasy football season. So this will be our last conversation with Paul Charchian of this football season. We've enjoyed having him on since we started. I know he was on before us, but still, every year we've been doing the show, we've had Charchian giving us fantasy football advice. Congrats to, as we said earlier in the week, the two listeners, along with myself, that are alive still in our Coding Gold Listener Guillotine League. So it's crunch time. Crunch time. Got to get to that final two spots. That's what you want. Give your chance.
You're holding up
yourself
a spot for the listeners.
Sorry.
The show going to win it 2 years in a row?
I don't know. We'll see.
You won it last year.
I think I'm
You only got like 2 weeks left of those wings, man.
I think I'm projected
God,
to...
I know.
I don't know if I'm projected to get chopped. I can look real quick, our listeners. Coding Gold Guillotine League. It's hard to say because not everybody set their lineup yet, but it looks like... I'm not. It's very close. 139, 138, and 134 are the projected scores of the three of us that are around.
So it's very close. A net zero.
It's going to be very close. I saw in Miami the Dolphins, who are still alive in the playoff picture,
technically.
Right? They're still alive. If they get eliminated, there's a report out of that area that Calais Campbell, who's a veteran lineman, had a really nice NFL career, to say the least, that the Dolphins could release him if they're eliminated, as in doing the vet a favor to help him go get a ring and actually let him sign somewhere else. That requires them being eliminated, which could happen this weekend, I believe, depending on some
if
of the
they
results.
Lose, they're out.
Yeah, so that could happen. They're playing the 49ers, who are banged up as well, so we'll see. I bring this up because if he gets eliminated, naturally everybody's like, okay, what contender is he signing with? I feel like the Chiefs roster is the Chiefs roster. Whoever's on the practice squad, whoever's on IR, whoever's in the building, those are the guys. At some point, there's kind of a cutoff, in my opinion. They brought back Steven Nelson a week or two ago. Obviously, DJ Humphries a couple weeks back. What they have to me is what they have. And if you tell me Calais Campbell gets cut and you're like, hey, maybe they could use him. He's got a couple sacks this year, some depth. I think, if anything, he's going back to Baltimore, a team he's played with before.
Yeah, the defensive line stuff happened with the Minshew. I'm not real moving on Calais Campbell, although we could have a whole separate conversation about, should they be trying to work out a long-term deal with the Minshew now? I mean,
no. Wait till the offseason. I mean, guys,
fine,
only,
yeah. But, you know, he is only, we'll this is the last off-season. Year's deal.
There's
sure.
no reason to do anything now.
I'm just saying they're going to need another defensive end.
Sure.
But Calais Campbell, it's like, I'm never against defensive line depth, but the question I would ask now is the same we'd ask about, like, if a wide receiver's on the street, like when Odell Beckham was available, which is, if you look at the Chiefs roster right now, who would you want Calais Campbell playing over? And he's a good player. I'm not saying that. Mm-hmm. But he's not going to be a regular starter, so I don't want him over a Minshew, Karloftis, or Chris Jones. Turk Wharton is having a fantastic year. So the first four linemen, so yeah, if I'm cutting playing time on Felix or some of these other guys, I mean, you can make an argument, but they got to get used to the system, inside the system. They got to get comfortable with the defensive line play. It's just, it's not worth it. The Chiefs team, I'm kind of with you. Like, the roster is what it is. And adding, anytime somebody's available, I understand the idea of wanting to improve this team. The only thing that I wouldn't rule it out on, that we shouldn't rule out, just them, like, picking up Calais Campbell, even though we're, like, against it, is the Chiefs have been desperately doing anything to win this three-peat. I think they've mortgaged a slight bit of their future as a result of that. Paying the money to DJ Humphries, giving up even like small picks, right? Giving up the pick for Uche, giving up the pick for DeAndre. They do anything for this three-peat this year. They've made 15 in-season moves, seemingly.
For sure. At some point, though,
for
you
the
run
three-peat
out of
this
time.
Year, which is a crazy number. They're bringing in tackles, guards, defensive linemen. They're making trades. They're bringing Steven Nelson, like
wide
you
receivers,
mentioned.
Yeah.
They've tried everything to keep
no
this
doubt.
Three-peat
they've
alive.
Exhausted,
and it's
they've exhausted
and
every option, I think, to do that. I just think at some point you run out of time to get the player acclimated. That's why if the Dolphins cut Calais Campbell, I think the Ravens make sense. Now, maybe you're arguing that, hey, if the Chiefs get a bye week, they have an extra week to get them ready or whatever. I'm with you, though, on the who does he play over anyway? You know, I don't believe he fits necessarily in what they're doing. To me, Calais Campbell, if they actually cut him, he'll probably be a Baltimore Raven.
He was involved in trade talk, too, at the deadline, I think, around a couple
was
of teams.
He? Yeah.
Yeah, but like if you're but also, Miami and they stunk.
For someone saying, oh, he would sign here over Baltimore, like what's the reasoning on that? If you're Calais Campbell, you know you succeeded in Baltimore. Like, unless you're just gonna flat out tell me, like, well, he knows he
and
can't
you know
win
a chance.
You know, like I get it, like in Kansas City, we don't consider Baltimore a real threat for the Super Bowl currently, I guess, anymore.
No, he's playing well enough, I'd consider it.
But Calais Campbell, I doubt his thinking is gonna be like I can only sign with Kansas City. I doubt that would be his thought process. Why wouldn't he go to a team in Baltimore that he already knows the system?
I mean, the
it's
Lions.
It's a new DC there, so maybe that's your argument. He doesn't have the same relationship, but him and Harbaugh do.
Would the Lions also be a potential?
Yeah.
I mean, be honest.
Big time injuries there, absolutely.
Yeah. I'd be all over that if I were the Lions. Yeah. He can have whatever the hell he wants.
The other part is playing time. Yeah, to your point, Drew, that's fair. Playing time. Where could he get more playing time? Baltimore or Detroit? Than Kansas City.
Detroit right now, I mean, who the hell they got left on the defensive line? Yeah. They have lost, not kidding, like 7 or 8 defensive linemen to the IR this year. So if there's a team who could use some random defensive lineman, and Calais Campbell's not a random defensive lineman, but if there's a team that could use Calais Campbell, it's the Lions. And look, if he's in the NFC side, so be it. My whole argument is like, I hope he goes to the Lions before I hope he goes to the Ravens gold for the same reason. If Calais Campbell is a problem for the Chiefs, it's in the Super Bowl. And I'll worry about that problem in the Super Bowl, a game in which, fine. Oh, no, there's mismatches. I'm sure St. Brown is also a problem in that game, but we'll start working through those issues. I like Detroit this weekend because it just feels like they're going to be out for blood. Yeah, Dan Campbell's going to have them out for blood, isn't he?
Yeah, it's the bet. We do our in-house competition. We've got the board over there. That's my bet on the board. Detroit minus 6.5.
His whole appearance on the radio was like it. We needed to get punched in the mouth a little bit and make sure you remember where you came from in a way. Is what
the only other one I don't understand is the one I thought about doing on the board. I decided because like I'm way behind in the contest at work.
You're already there's an E next to your name. There's already an E next to your name.
I'm still making picks.
I appreciate that.
I'm still making
respect.
Picks. I'm about the final record. Mm-hmm. I chose, just like I did last year, Rudolph to win on Christmas week. So I have bet the Titans. Yeah. Can I tell you right now that I don't even care how bad they are. There is no way Atlanta should be favored by as many points as they are. Rookie quarterbacks rookie quarterbacks making their first start don't win football games. And they're a touchdown favorite. You cannot tell me that Michael Penix Jr. deserves to be a touchdown favorite. Again, Giants, I think. I mean, so like a bad football team.
Solid defense, though. Like, that's the strength.
A touchdown? I don't think so. I don't see it.
It's going to be Tommy DeVito, right?
Yeah, I think so. Tommy Cutlets. Mm.
Yeah, is he back? He got knocked out of the game and they had...
Oh, did he?
Boyle or whatever in for a little bit, I think.
I just don't understand it. They're more than, it's like, 7-8 point spread last time I looked at it. I'm just like, I know they're 2-12. I mean, I get it. And the Falcons are in the middle of a playoff hunt, but rookie quarterbacks making their first start do not win a lot of football games. Tonight, I guess this doesn't impact the Chiefs' season at all. Are you curious tonight just who's the better of the two teams between the Chargers and Broncos?
Sure.
Does it move the needle for us Chiefs-wise to see who the better of the two teams or if Bo Nix can score against the Chargers or whatever?
So I think it actually does impact the Chiefs. And you say, why? I think it does
because
the Denver Broncos can clinch a playoff spot, potentially, before they play the Chiefs by winning tonight. Like, if they win the next two games.
Oh, so you're saying clinch the playoff spot, then that way week 18 doesn't matter?
If the Chiefs are in a spot where they have to win week 18, if the Broncos win tonight, it gets them on an easier path to themselves clinching a playoff spot where they may rest their starters week 18. If Sean Payton approaches it that way, remember, they would be playing wild card weekend, so maybe they want the bye, or maybe they want to keep the momentum going, and so they play Bo Nix week 18.
Russ Tucker certainly suggested they might play.
But if the Broncos do win tonight, it means there's a chance week 18 doesn't matter. If they lose tonight, the Broncos are probably playing their starters week 18, depending on other scenarios. So I actually think it does matter tonight's result. And part of me thinks you should be rooting for the Broncos tonight if you have to root for somebody.
I mean, look, to Drew's point, it's like, I don't like Cincinnati is a scarier team because just pass the smell test. Like if somebody asked you this question, who would you rather face least in the playoffs, the Chargers or the Broncos? Fundamentally, they have a similar record. They let up a similar number of points. They score a similar number of points. They both are well coached. Like on paper, they should be about the same. But does rookie quarterback Bo Nix beating Patrick Mahomes in a playoff game pass the smell test? No, that ain't ever going to happen. If Joe Burrow's team somehow found their way in, he can at least beat him in a playoff game. Bo Nix can't beat Patrick Mahomes in a playoff game. That's never going to happen. That does not pass any kind of eye smell test at all. That could be a little bit scary. I think I'd rather whichever one of these makes it more likely that the Broncos face the Chiefs if they fall to the two. That's who I want. I'd rather have the Broncos in the first round than the Chargers. So I guess go Chargers. But yeah, I don't know. I like it more for just like a litmus test.
That was where I was going with it. Was who would you want out of just those two? Forget the Bengals in this. It's the Broncos or the Chargers.
I'd rather the Broncos. Yeah. You? In the playoffs, let's say.
Yeah, because I think Harbaugh's a better coach, even though Sean Payton's done a really nice job with Bo
Nix. Rookie quarterback.
Yeah.
Like, nope. I can't shake that. And they beat the Chargers not that long ago, but there was no Ladd McConkey. And, you know, he is a good player. I'm not saying that can't be the difference between a win or a loss, but they've beaten the Chargers twice this year. One time with Ladd, one without.
By the way, it's Drew Locke starting for the Giants.
He's back.
Yeah, Tim DeVito, Tommy Cutlets got Tommy DeVito got replaced by Tim Boyle, and now he's still hurt, but Drew Locke is back.
I hope Drew Locke hits whatever that incentive was. He had some the rumor was is that they started Tommy DeVito one because like it's more fun. If they're going to try to get fans out there, the like cartoon character quarterback is more fun than the other. But also Drew Locke does have incentive based things in his contract based on playing time. So he can actually earn himself more money by playing in some of these games.
Actually hit these $250,000 if he has a 92.5 QB rating, $250,000 for a 65% completion rate. So he could earn an extra $750,000,
I don't know if his rating's going to be there.
Yeah, I don't
know what his completion is.
What does his rating have to be?
He also gets
92.5.
Just needs one good game, man.
But he also gets $250,000 for taking 40-49% of the snaps. There's no way he's going to get 50% of the snaps. There's not enough games.
But had he started, he might have. That's well, maybe not. But.
He also got, in fairness, he also got hurt. They did give him a chance, and then he got hurt.
Is that an average QBR though? Of
yeah, I'm not sure that how
92
they.
Because I feel like they have to be average. They're not just going to do it for one game.
His QBR this year,
if he throws 224 passes, he has 250,000. There's no way he's throwing 224 passes before the season is over.
He has thrown 90 so far. There's three games remaining. So he'd have to throw the ball 50 times a game.
No way.
Dude, come on now.
I hope he checks out of every run play for three straight games. He does it just for the 250 grand. He's like, hey, we called a run play like 10 times in a row.
Yeah.
Didn't see a coach.
Yeah.
Didn't see. I'm out here to bowl today. And he just throws 50 times a day. That would be the most amazing way to get a bonus ever.
It really would.
No, but he would have got to the 240 had they started him. This is the goes back to the whole thing. And he got hurt in one of the games, so they didn't start him right away. When they could have started him right away, they went to top.
But it was only one game. I view it as a wash now because
he got hurt. That's fair.
I view it kind of a wash. But yes, if he would have started from the beginning and stayed healthy, but him getting hurt didn't help the cause there.
Are you saying you're going to write down the Giants then because you don't believe in the Penix cover for the touchdown?
Well, I was already eliminated, and I like the Rudolph at Christmas time story, so I'm sticking with that.
Yeah, that's right.
That won me money last year against your Cincinnati Bengals, Drew.
Yeah, that really was frustrating, you saying that, because you're the one that spurred that on.
We were just talking about it as a show. I don't remember. We're all just everyone's making the same joke, essentially, at this time, which is Rudolph coming in at Christmas. My son actually drew he cut out and drew a Rudolph. Looking reindeer, he brought it home from his art project, but he had named it Cody. I was like, why did you name it Cody? He's like, I don't know, it's not cool. I was like, but that's my name. He's like, yeah, I know. I was like, so you just named this reindeer Cody? He also, and I don't know, I felt so bad, because kids will do stuff like this. They're just like, they don't realize that they're being, we were standing in the kitchen, and we're going to our kids' parties, right, at the school tomorrow. But like only one, based on the amount of time they are, like one parent's
going
to go to one.
Oh, you're going to parties tomorrow, not work. Is that what I just heard?
You're going to parties.
It really sounds like it.
Wow, you're just going to party it up tomorrow instead.
with elementary school kids.
Wow.
And so, you know, we only each of us can go to one, essentially. They're at the same time. And so we said, hey, who do you want to, like, which parent's going to go to which? We're trying to decide last night. And Desmond said, you can come. I love you more than mom, right in front of her. I said, hey, man, don't say that. He's like, why? I still love her. I just love you more. I'm like, stop saying it. You can't say things like that in front of your mom. You got to say, I love mom the most. We had a talk privately after that.
Up next, we'll get to what's trending, and we'll be joined by former Chiefs wide receiver Danen Hughes. We'll ask him about Hollywood Brown getting integrated with this offense.